you would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. Let me encourage you, when you have the opportunity, to read chapters 25 through 31, because in chapters 25 through 30, there is enormous detail about how God wanted to be worshiped and how God wanted the tabernacle where He would put His presence to be constructed. And again, it's enormous detail. We're not going to read that this morning. We are going to read chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. And then we're going to talk about the next series of chapters because they go together. And I would encourage you to read it on your own. We'll look at a few highlights from those chapters. But in Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, this is our reading of God's Word for today. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. How are we to worship God? Does it really matter? Isn't just sort of when we want to, the way we want to? Doesn't really matter. God ought to feel good if people pay attention to Him ever. You think? Boy, that's a blasphemous idea, and unfortunately, it seems to be pretty common in our culture, including among many people who go to church from time to time, whenever the mood strikes them, when there's something there that appeals. We have an attitude that is rampant in our culture that reveals the idolatry that is at the heart of much church-going and so-called worship. The focus is on how I feel. How does it make me feel? I met with someone recently and they were explaining to me, and they don't live here. I'm not talking about somebody here. Okay. People are, who could that be? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Is it I? It's not anybody in this room. It's not anybody who lives here. But we're talking about where to go to church in the community where they live. And they were explaining kind of what they're looking for. And you know, what they were looking for didn't seem to have anything to do with God. It had to do with finding friends and feeling comfortable and being with people who might be a potential mate, that kind of thing. Let me just tell you, that's not what church is about. It's not what it's about. It's not about how it makes me feel. God wants people to be willing worshipers. Now, in the chapters that will follow, there are at least two places where God will say to Moses, "Tell the people to do this. When you take a census, take a collection. And here's how much everybody's to pay." So God's specific about sometimes commanding certain worshipful acts. But God's looking for more than that. Look again at verse 2 in chapter 25. Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. That's a command. But here's what God's looking for. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. In other words, if the reason that I come to church is because, well, God says we have to do it. It's kind of a requirement. In the New Testament, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. And so I realize that this is something I'm required to do, and therefore I'm here. I'm here in church because it's required. Well, it's better not going, but not much. The reason we ought to go to church is to worship the God who saved us. We ought to be eager to meet with Him in that special way that occurs when God's people come together. I've worshiped in high liturgical churches, and I've worshiped in churches where, metaphorically speaking, people wear sneakers so they can get better traction going up the walls. You have to process that. I've been in all kinds of worship services in various parts of the world. And I've been in churches where they chant and in churches where they can't. And I'm just telling you, it's not about the liturgy. It's not about the form. It's not about the decor. It's about gathering with God's people, knowing that He has promised, whenever two or more gather in my name, I'm there. And that's why we come together, is to be with Him as we gather together. So, well, doesn't God live inside each believer? Yeah, if you're really saved, God lives in you. But if He does, you ought to know that what He says is true about the fact that there's a special way in which He meets with us when we gather together. Because He doesn't just live in you. He also lives in His other children. And when we come together, it is, in the biblical sense, an awesome thing. When the people of God are gathered to worship Him, it should be because our hearts are moved to worship Him. I told the story before about when I was about to preach for the first time at the church where I grew up in North Carolina. And right before we walked from the back area out onto the platform area, the pastor stopped us and said, "Now I want to remind you that the people out there seated in the pews are not the audience. God is the audience. And those of us on the platform have the responsibility of leading them in worshiping Him. But He's the audience. He's the only audience. Remember that." I thought, that is so cool. That is such a great perspective. That's exactly, of course, that's biblical. We're here to worship God, not entertain the people. So of course that's the way it ought to be. Yes, I get it. And he swung open the door, and we walked out onto the platform, and there seated in the back was Dr. Billy Graham. And all of a sudden, my knees feel like spaghetti. And I'm thinking, oh my word, Dr. Graham is here. Oh no. I wasn't like, oh great. I was petrified. Why? Dr. Graham is nothing compared to God. I was perfectly ready to walk into the presence of God, but not the presence of Billy Graham. What's wrong with me? Well, it's called idolatry. I was more concerned about what he would think than about what he would think. And it doesn't matter about anything except what he thinks. What does God say? How does God like it? If God's not happy with it, it doesn't matter if everybody thinks it's magnificent. If God is pleased, it doesn't matter if everybody thinks it stinks. We have got to rediscover what worship is about. It's about God. It's about God. So God told His people that they were to bring an offering, but that He was looking for those whose hearts prompted them to give. Is that clear? Secondly, God not only says, I want you to bring an offering, and I want it to be from your heart, but God says, here's the list. In other words, God doesn't say, oh, just, you know, whatever you want to bring. You know, it doesn't matter. Just whatever. If you've got some stuff that you're not using, if you've got some... No. First thing on the list, gold. What was of extreme value in this culture? Gold. Okay? God gives them a list. Gold's not the only thing on the list, but it's the first thing on the list. God gives them a list, and He's asking for things that are excellent, valuable, beautiful. That's the kind of worship we're supposed to offer. When we give, it should not only be from the heart, but what we should want to give from our hearts is the best we've got. Our finest. The most valuable things. So if I give it, I can't spend it. What could you possibly do? What could you possibly spend something on that would be more valuable than loving Him? Do you remember in the New Testament, the woman who broke the alabaster container and poured out what was worth a year's wages? There were people who thought that was a waste. Judas, for example. Because he had other plans for the money. But the fact of the matter is, that was a beautiful thing in Jesus' eyes. Jesus said, she's done something beautiful. And it's going to be told wherever the gospel is told. Well, do you think Jesus is right? Well, of course! So what do we learn? God wants worship that involves sacrifice, that involves our best, that involves our placing a priority on Him that surpasses the value we place on anything else. So, God gives them a list. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. I'm wearing green this morning. That wasn't one of the choices. Blue, that's good. Purple, I've got the sneakers. And scarlet yarn. All right? Why? Because God said so. Well, I was thinking kind of a lime color would be nice. It's very popular this year. God says, these are the colors I want. Give me what I ask for. Well, does it really matter? Who says? God says. Okay, Pastor Wood, I just want to be clear. Are you saying that you're in sin this morning because you're wearing a lime shirt? No. What I'm saying is God set the terms for what the tabernacle was to look like. He said, I want certain things used in the construction, and I have a color scheme in mind. It will turn out that the design of the tabernacle and the furnishings of the tabernacle had layers of purpose and meaning. Ultimately, the architecture and the activities within the tabernacle pointed to the person and work of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. They didn't understand that. They didn't need to. They just needed to do what God said. The night of the Passover in Egypt, God had told them exactly what to do. They were to sacrifice a lamb. They were to do it like this. They were to do the blood like this. It was an exact pattern that God gave them. Suppose somebody said, I'm just not feeling like lamb tonight. I think we'll have salmon. You know what happened to that person? Death. They didn't get saved, rescued. Why? Because it wasn't just about a meal. It was a picture of Jesus. Moses is going to end up not allowed to go into the promised land. Why? Because he's going to disobey God and strike the rock a second time when God had told him to speak to it. What's the big deal? It was a picture of Jesus. Why? He didn't know that. He didn't have to know that. All he had to do was obey God. You want to know what is really at the heart of true worship? Obedience. That's what it comes down to. Doing what God says. So the question about churches is not about comfort. It's about obedience. And I don't think God wants everybody in the same congregation. Is that clear? But if our first question is, where do I feel comfortable, as opposed to, what is God telling me to do? Then we're going about it all wrong. Now, what God's telling me to do is not going to be what God tells everybody else to do. Is that clear? But the things that God specifically says, and there are some things God says to all of us, those things we had all better obey. So, the Lord was very specific about the details because the details were pointing to Jesus. And I mean, it was an amazing list. Notice again, verse 9. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. You get that? God is saying, I designed it. It's for a purpose. Do what I say. And he doesn't say, you've got the general concept. I drew the magnificent building next door here, the resource center. I drew that plan myself on a napkin. Okay? Not very complicated. I mean, it's about as simple as it can be. It's kind of a shoebox with some doors in it. Nothing complicated. Then we had to take it to an engineer and have him make it certified by the fire marshal. It really wasn't crucial. In other words, they didn't say, okay, let me measure here on the napkin. No, they just had the concept. That's all they needed. We talked about square feet and that kind of thing, but I didn't even have a straight edge. I just had a napkin and a pen. That was enough. This is not one of those. This is one where God says it's to be exactly like this. This size, this long, this wide, this high, and it's going to have all these curtains. It's a giant tent. Here's how the curtains are to be attached to the poles. Here's what the poles are to be like. The rings, this is what they're to look like. This is what things are to be made of. There's furniture to go inside. Let me tell you what it's to look like. And God even says, I have a couple of guys that I have filled with my Spirit. I've put my Spirit on them. They are artisans. And they are going to oversee all the detailed work that needs to be done. We're going to have embroidery work going on. One of our students came to me yesterday and showed me a new skill she's been taught and something she'd made. That That's wonderful. I love that, that people are learning how to do things. God is able to use stuff like that. But God also said, these are the guys who are going to be in charge of all that stuff. I've anointed them to do it. I've empowered them to do it. I've gifted them to do it. They're the ones who are going to do it. Well, I have skills. Why wasn't I chosen? I'd like to at least be on the committee. I have opinions about these things. And I think, why do those guys, every time they get called on, Moses always says, well, they're the ones who are supposed to do it. You're going to have to ask them. I just don't get that. Don't they recognize my gifts?
Do you understand? God is the one who says, these people are going to be in charge of that. Everybody else has to report to them. And God has a right to do that.
Well, I think that my gifts and my taste, I really don't care. Okay? There were people back then. I mean, if you think that there weren't people out of all the hundreds of thousands of people milling around who said, well, I don't see why it has to be exactly like that. God said, this is the way it's to be, and it's to be exactly like this. Down to the details. And I love the fact that the various things God called for them to make reflected the various things that God has made in creation. In other words, the beauty inside the place of God's dwelling was a reflection of the beauty outside that God made. If you don't get stirred by the beauty you see, we're here in springtime in East Tennessee. Dogwoods are bursting forth, just sparkling white. Magnificent. All these little buds coming out on tree limbs that are then beginning to change from pastel colors into pale green into dark green this summer. I mean, it's magnificent. Birds are looking for places to nest, and there are all these beautiful colors and sweet songs, and it's just glorious. God invented all that stuff. If that doesn't move you, something's wrong with you. Put down your video games. Pay attention to what is around you. God likes this stuff. He designed it. We should appreciate it. Let me tell you, this is never going to happen. But if you came in for devotions one morning and I had done a mural on the wall and nobody said anything about the mural, that would not be good. Okay? Did you all notice the mural? Oh, yeah. Nice. Bap, bap! What's wrong with you? Don't you appreciate this? God puts us, I watched the sun come up this morning. It was fabulous. The whole valley was shrouded in mist. It's why they call it the Smokies. And as the temperature from the sun began to stir, you could see the movement in the mist. And pretty soon, it was beginning to lift and light was coming through and you could see the view and it was glorious. Do you understand how blessed we are to be surrounded by beauty? People come from all over the world to see what we live in the middle of. It's glorious. God made it. Enjoy it. And thank Him. And praise Him. And know that God delights over this. Even in a fallen world marred by sin, there is still tremendous beauty, and we ought to celebrate it. when the communists took over Eastern Europe, they literally ripped the beautiful ornate facades off of buildings because they didn't think anybody should have a house that was prettier than somebody else's. So they destroyed, in countries like Poland and Ukraine, they destroyed things that had been there, in some cases, for centuries, that were beautiful. But in the name of equality, spreading the wealth around, they just destroyed the wealth. I mean, it was nuts. It was evil. But they felt this was the thing to do. Let me tell you something. We should appreciate the beauty that God has placed around us in nature. And we should appreciate the skills that God has given to artisans and craftsmen and embroiderers and perfumers. God even likes perfume? Yes! Is that why you wear too much?
That's not perfume, it's cologne.
No, I just don't want to smell like an old person. I'd rather they say he's got on too much cologne than that they say he needs another bath. God gave them a recipe for a fragrance they were to put in the tabernacle, and God said it's an exclusive line. Now, you'll read all this if you do what I told you. Read these chapters that follow. God said if anybody else tries to copy that smell, tries to use that for their own purposes, they're to be killed. That's how serious it was. It was a blend of spices. God says, that's just for my house. Nobody else gets that. Why? Why would God want something special just for him? Because one of the things that we need to know is that God is not ordinary. God is not just like us, just like everybody else. And when you come into the presence of God, it ought to be special, not just routine. When we come before God, it should be with a sense of awe and wonder. We are in the presence of the God who spoke the universe into being. He has all power, not just lots of power. He has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. It all belongs to Him. Everything is His. We are His. And so when we come into His presence, God says, I want you to know this is special. God gives instructions about the priest's underwear. And you know what? God says they're to wear it every time they come to worship me, lest they be killed.
Oh, wow. Well, really?
Yes! Well, I mean, can people see the underwear? Hopefully not. Let me tell you, just again, we don't have time to go through all of this verse by verse, but I want you to think about that for a moment. You could die if you weren't being obedient in things that are not seen. Those who came to worship and to lead others in worship had to be obedient even in ways that other people wouldn't be able to look and tell. It wasn't just their outerwear that mattered. It was the stuff people couldn't see. You think that's changed? Or do you think God sees everything and knows what we're about and cares about the stuff that other people don't know? I'm telling you, this matter of worship is really serious. And we need to learn from what God told His people in the Old Covenant about how amazing it is that Jesus would rescue sinners like us and make us clean, robing us in His righteousness, so that now we can not just come into the tabernacle, we can come into the holiest of holies because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If we understand what He has done for us, it is staggering. It is amazing. God sent His Son to die for us so that we could be with Him forever. Now look at what God says. Chapter 29, verses 45 and 46. Chapter 29, verses 45 and 46. Now we'll start back in 44. So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. What's all this about? What's all the worship about? What's the architecture about? What are the furnishings about? It's ultimately all about our having a relationship with God where He says, I'm your God and you're my people. That's what it's still about today. Jesus died for us, not just so that we could be forgiven and continue on in sin. That was not the plan. The plan was to purchase us and make us a kingdom of priests, to offer true worship to our God. God's intention for us is that we would be priests, offering true worship to Him. Jesus says to the woman in Samaria, God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's still looking. He still desires true worship. It is more important than anything else on your agenda this week. I don't care whose birthday it is. I don't care whose anniversary it is. I don't care who's about to get a promotion or who just won the lottery. Please don't let it be one of you. I want you to know that the most important thing you will ever do is to worship Him. And at the heart of worship is obedience. Obedience. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for giving us Your Word, for showing us in Your dealings with people thousands of years ago that You are a God who delights in revealing Your glory so that we might not just know about You, but know You. I pray that You would help us not just to review these details as if they're irrelevant to our lives today, but to understand that You care about details and that You are looking for obedience and that You ultimately have provided redemption in Jesus Christ. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament, all the architecture, all the festivals, all of it pointed to Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to increasingly see Your likeness in Him. He is the perfect representation of Your glory. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth, and to walk in obedience to You, our God and Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.